Well, I hope that you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe it's this next week. But I'm also hopeful that you are ready for Thanksgiving with a thankful heart. And we talked about that last week, having a grateful heart and the importance of a grateful heart. We're going to be looking at another aspect of that tonight. And I like that song we're just sang. You know, it talked about 10,000 reasons. You know, we have a lot of reasons to be thankful and to bless His holy name. You don't have to look very long to be able to see God's goodness and His blessings that He's poured out upon us. How many of you ever watched The Jungle Book on Disney? I know some of the adults have. I remember when my kids were small, when that Disney movie came out, it was a favorite in our home for a long time. And the book was written by Rudyard Kipling, and he lived from 1865 to 1936. He was English, but he was born in India. In Bombay, India, and he wrote poetry, and he's the author of Captain Courageous, How the Leopard Got His Spots, and of course, The Jungle Book, and I think there were others, but his writings not only made him famous, but made him pretty wealthy as well. And there was a newspaper reporter one time that was talking to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody had calculated the money that you make from your writings to amount to over $100 per word." And so the reporter reached in his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave him that $100 bill. And he said, "Here's $100, Mr. Kipling. Now, give me one of your $100 words." And so Mr. Kipling, he looked at the $100 bill, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." You know, it's kind of funny, but it's true. It's one of those words. It's worth a lot. It is worth a lot. And actually, it's worth a lot more than $100. Especially when it comes from the heart. And we talked about that last week. And I want to just take a moment to review just a little bit. We were asking last week, why is it so important to have a grateful heart? And we learn that giving thanks goes a lot deeper than just saying thanks. It's a state of being. It speaks of being grateful, of feeling thankful. And we talked about how you can give thanks without actually feeling thankful. But you cannot be grateful without expressing thanks, both in word and deed. Ultimately, we looked at that gratitude is the right response to both who God is and what God has done in your life. That's ultimately what it means. And when we respond rightly to who God is and what He's done. Because if you really know who God is, you're going to be filled with gratitude that you know Him personally. That He knows you, that you're one of His. If you really understand what God has done, there's going to be gratitude. Sometimes we're not aware of what He's done or what He's doing. But as I said, if you really understand what He has done and what He is doing, you will have a heart full of gratitude. Sometimes I think we just need our eyes opened to be able to see how good God is. We talked about the difference between a heart of gratitude and a heart of ingratitude is whether or not you see the connection between what is happening in your life and what God is doing. And so seeing that connection, that's so important that we keep in mind who God is and what He's doing what His Word says, that we by faith, we believe He is good. By faith, we give thanks. There was something that I read. Well, I'm going to save that for later in the message. So I'll hold that thought. Tonight we're going to explore this question further, how or why it's so important to be grateful. We're going to look at it from a different perspective. We're going to look at the ungrateful heart. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at the ungrateful heart, what the Scripture says about it, and it'll help us better understand how important it is for us to have a grateful heart. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. I want to read those first six verses in Genesis chapter 3. This is a very familiar passage that deals with the fall of man into sin. This is where sin and death came into the world. Right here in Genesis chapter 3. This was where it all started. And we're going to look at why it started. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in that day, or in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight for Your goodness. Lord, You're so good to us, and we're just thankful for who You are, and that You are our God. You're our Father. You're our Shepherd. You're our Savior. There are so many things, Lord, we can think about of who You are tonight in relation to us, and Your love that You have for us, and what You've done for us at the cross, and what You do for us on a daily basis, what You have planned for us in the future. God, we're so thankful. And there are truly 10,000 reasons plus that we could give You thanks and praise tonight and bless Your holy name. But Father, even though we can agree with all of that, we can sometimes get to places in our lives spiritually where we don't have a grateful heart. There are times that we can become bitter. There are times that we can become angry, and times that our hearts are not right. God, I pray that tonight You would help us as we look at the ungrateful heart and see why it's so important that we have a grateful heart, to see the spiritual effects and consequences of ingratitude. Lord, that we would not only be thankful here in this Thanksgiving season, but Lord, we'd be thankful every day of our lives. That we'd practice that discipline of thanksgiving every day, that we would praise You and thank You and worship You every single day. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do tonight. Thank You for Your Word. And we ask all these things in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What's interesting about this story of the Garden of Eden, the fall of humanity into sin and death, it wasn't just about Adam and Eve getting a hold of something they shouldn't have. Sometimes we keep it so simplistic like that, but we don't really look at what really happened in the heart of Eve, Adam and Eve together. At the very source, I want to say that the fall was the result of a heart of ingratitude. The fall was the result of a heart of ingratitude. And I'm going to explain how that is. And it's interesting. You can look at the fall from different perspectives. And some people can say, well, it's because of unbelief. They doubted God's word. That is true. But it's also true that they had a heart that was ungrateful for who God is and what He had done for them. So the essence of what happened here in this chapter is the result of ingratitude. God had provided everything that they had needed, everything and more. But rather than being thankful, they wanted something more. They felt like they deserved more. And what Satan does here is that he tempted them to doubt not only the Word of God, but to doubt the goodness of God. It wasn't just him putting a question mark on what God said, but he was getting Eve to doubt God's goodness. So I want you to look again in Genesis here, and I want you to look in the previous chapter, chapter 2, and listen to what God actually said to Adam, because we have to compare what He actually said to what Satan and Eve said about it. In chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now when you come to chapter 3, and you look at what Satan said in verse 1 in his question, you'll notice that he twists what God said. He twists God's word. He insinuates that God is not good by rephrasing what God said in a negative way. Because listen to what he said. "Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That's not how God said it. God didn't say, "You shall not eat of every tree." That's kind of a negative take on it. What God did say, verse 16 in chapter 2, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." That's what God said. You can eat. Look at all these trees. Look at all this fruit. Look at everything that I made. You can eat of every one of these freely. God's goodness and generosity. I mean, just... But Satan turns that and twists it around a little bit to make it look like God's not so good, not so generous, and said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So he carefully worded his question to influence Eve in her thinking towards God. And we see that he accomplished just that, because I want you to notice what she says in verse 2. "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now I want you to notice that Eve left out a couple of words in what God actually said. She left out "every tree," and she left out "freely." When you take those out, it makes God look less generous and less good. See, Satan's already starting to influence the way she's looking at this. And then she adds something that God didn't say. In verse 3, she adds, "Neither shall you touch it." God never said that. Now, I will say maybe Adam told her in warning her, "Now, don't even touch that." And really, in all honesty, we shouldn't be touching something that God tells us to stay away from and not take. We shouldn't. I understand that, but I still want to make this point that by adding this phrase, "Neither shall ye touch it," it reveals that Eve's beginning to feel God's restriction was too harsh. her mind, her mentality is changing because Satan, he's deceiving her. And that's what the Bible tells us in the New Testament. Paul tells us in his letter to Timothy, I can't remember the first or second one, how that Eve was deceived. And Satan is deceiving her about who God is and what God has done. He's getting her to feel that God is not really as good as he says he is. And now Satan, he's emboldened by her response, and he sells her this lie. Ye shall not surely die. I mean, this absolutely goes against what God said. This is actually denying what God said. God told them, in the day that you eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so he sells her this lie. And he goes on to say, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what he led her to believe was that you can be like God. God's holding out on you. That really, by eating of this, it's going to be good for you. Because you're going to know good and evil. Your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be like God. This lie is what led her and her husband to spiritual death. That day they died spiritually. That day they were separated from God. That day they sinned against God. And Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It was by Adam, by one man, that sin entered into the world, death by sin. And it goes on to tell us that death is passed upon all men, for we all have all sinned. And so that's where it all started, because of Eve believing this lie of Satan. And Satan tempting her to have a heart of ingratitude. And you know, Jesus, remember, he told us in John 8:44 that Satan was a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning. And it's going back to this story. This is where Satan reveals his lies. He always promises great benefits, but they always lead us away from God. And you know, Satan's still doing the same thing today. We go through life, we go through trials, and Satan whispers, God's not really as good as you think he is. Why would a good God let you go through what you're going through? Why would a good God allow you to suffer like you're suffering now? You see, Satan is still doing the same trick today, getting people to believe his lies about God. And Satan's deception influenced three areas of her life in verse 6 that we see. The first was her physical appetite. The tree that was good for food. It says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it appealed to her body, her physical appetite, which was provoked by selfish ingratitude. You know, they already had, think about it, they had the whole garden, every tree in the garden. There's just this tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God warned them about, but they had every other tree in the garden. They had all that they needed, everything they needed, all the good things they needed. But, you know, it's funny how that we're just like Eve. God gives us everything we need. But we start looking over there, thinking there's something better that God's not giving us. How many husbands are not grateful for their wives? And they see, well, maybe that woman over there would be better for me. She'd be a better fit for me. She's, you know, that's how it starts. That's how sin starts. When you start with ingratitude in your heart for what God has given, what God has provided you. Another area of her life was her emotional appetite, that which was pleasant to the eyes, appealed to her emotional appetite, or we could say her soul. This covetousness that grew in her heart was because of ingratitude. She coveted this. Because you'll notice that later in this verse it says, at a tree to be desired. I mean, she looked and coveted after this tree. She saw it, that it was pleasant to her eyes, as beautiful to look at. It was appealing to her emotional appetite. But I want you to know that this covetousness that grows in one's heart because of ingratitude. Ingratitude. The Lord led me today in Colossians 3. I want you to turn there. I forgot to put this in my notes, but I just remembered when I was studying some of these verses. I am thinking, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, we were talking last week how that ingratitude is basically idolatry. That's what it is. It's when we're not thankful. We don't glorify God for who He is. So when we're ungrateful, it will lead to having covetousness in our heart, desiring more than what God's provided and given to us. And there's a third area, and that is her intellectual appetite. It says the fruit was desirable to make one wise. There's to be desire to make one wise. Appealed to her spirit. This ingratitude led her to desire to be like God. She was not thankful for what God had made her to be. She wanted to be something else. She wanted to be like God. She desired knowledge and was tempted by this false promise that would make her like God. And so let's sum it up by saying this. Her ingratitude for who God is, what God had done, and who she was, led her to believe that Satan was telling her the truth. Those three things, I think it's very important that we think about this very carefully and meditate on this truth, that when we are ungrateful for who God is and for what He's done and for who we are, it's so important. You think about it. God made Adam and Eve as the crown of His creation. There was no other in creation that He made to fellowship with Him like He did Adam and Eve. There's no others in the Bible that we see that was made in the image of God. Only Adam and Eve. Only mankind was made in the image of God. They were a special part of His creation. And when we forget who we are, and especially today we forget that we're His children, that we're His redeemed, we're His beloved, and we forget who He is, that He's our Father, that He's our Savior, that He's our Redeemer, He's our Sanctifier. I mean, He's the one that loves us with an everlasting love. And we forget what He's done for us. You know, if you're going through hard trials, just go back to the cross. Look at what He did for you. To save you and to make you one of His own. And because of the cross, you know that He's going to bring good out of that. And you know that He's going to bring you one day into His very presence in heaven because of the cross. I mean, we forget these things and we start complaining and getting ungrateful about our circumstances and things in our lives. I mentioned a while ago that idolatry, and I've got the quote here, lack of gratitude is actually idolatry, where we think that we somehow deserve something different, better than what God had already provided. I shared that last week. And we see that truth and it right here with Eve, that somehow she was led to believe that she deserved something better than what God had given her. I mean, God had given her everything in the garden, every tree in the garden, all kinds of fruit, thousands of them. But somehow she believed that she deserved something better. And I want to just say that if you were to think back to any sin issues that you may have struggled with in the last year, my guess is you could probably trace most of them back to having a heart of ingratitude. You could probably trace it to that root. We talked about covetousness already, desiring something more. What causes that? Ingratitude for what God's already given you. Lust. Desiring something, it's like covetousness, desiring something that not yours. And thinking you deserve something more. Lying, stealing, bitterness, anger. You can go on, just start looking at some different sins. You can trace the root of those sins to a heart of ingratitude. Ingratitude for what God has done, for who God is, and who you are. That's where you can trace it to. There's a lady, her name's Ann Voskamp, and she wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. And she wrote this, Satan wanted more. More power, more glory, and ultimately, in his essence, Satan is an ingrate. I mean, that's the truth out there. I agree. Remember, Satan said, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God. She went on to say, he sinks his venom into the heart of Eden. I like how she describes that, because a serpent here, Satan is described as a serpent. She says he sinks his venom into the heart of Eden. Satan's sin becomes the first sin of all humanity, the sin of ingratitude. That's what she wrote in her book. And I agree with what she said. I think that that's an accurate statement from what I read here in the Scripture. I'm going to go ahead and read some more of what she said, but don't try to write down. There's a lot. But just listen to what she said. She said, Adam and Eve ungratefully did not acknowledge what God gave. Isn't that a catalyst for all of my sins? We hunger for something more, something other. And standing before the tree laden with fruit withheld, we listen to Eve's murmur. And the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open. But in the beginning, our eyes were already open. Our sight was perfect. our vision, let us see a world spilling with goodness. Our eyes follow nothing but the glory of God. We saw God as He truly is, good. But we were lured by the deception that there was more to a full life. There was more to see. And true, there was more to see. The ugliness that we hadn't beheld. The sinfulness we hadn't witnessed. And the loss we hadn't known. That's pretty powerful. That is pretty powerful. You know, what's true here in the Old Testament, we're going to find is also true in the New Testament, this truth. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. He begins this section in verse 18, but I want to start in verse 20 for time's sake. He said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now notice verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." Now notice these next three words. "Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." You know, Paul here is diagnosing the sin of humanity. And he puts his finger on it in verse 20, that they didn't glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. That's where the fall began. That's where the plunge into sin begins. That's where their hearts were darkened and they became vain in their imaginations. That's where they begin to worship idols, as we see in verse 23. The reason man became vain in his imaginations was because of ingratitude. That's what we see in these verses. Now I want you to look at this statement on the board, on the screen. Man begins to worship the gifts of God rather than God Himself. That's pretty much what you can say about verse 23. Changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. We begin to worship the gifts. We begin to worship idols rather than God Himself. The gifts of God rather than God Himself. And so many Christians can be this way, where they worship God's gifts rather than God Himself. They pray, God give, give me this, give me this. Answer this prayer, do this for me. But there's no worship of God. There's no love for God. There's no strong relationship with God. It's just, I want God. I want You to do this. It's almost like we believe a prosperity gospel in our prayer life. But really, that kind of praying and that kind of thinking is nothing more than a heart of ingratitude. Here's another quote. "Man uses these gifts instead of seeing them as a conduit to tell us something about God and His glory." It's crazy how we do that whenever we are not thankful. How we can just use these gifts rather than seeing these gifts as a conduit to tell us something about God and His glory. You know, it's interesting, as I was reading that today, I was thinking about what we learned in Connect class this last Sunday about show and tell. We're learning how to look for opportunities to offer praise to God for His work in our lives. But one of the important truths that we looked at about that was was the point of pointing that praise back to a particular characteristic of God, something about God. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's love, God's just or righteousness. You know, pointing something back to that. And that's exactly what this quote is talking about, that we should see every gift that God brings into our lives as a revelation of something about Him that we can thank Him and praise Him for and worship Him for. Remember last week we talked about the gratitude. One of the ways we can look at gratitude is to be amazed with God. And that's this thought being expressed in a different way, that when we see all these gifts, it's just a way for us to see something about God and to praise Him for it, to be amazed with God. And this is what makes a heart of gratitude so important. If you're a Christian, it means that when you're grateful, you're doing the very thing that God intended for you to do with the gifts that He's given you. But it also means when you're not grateful, you're short-circuiting that very thing that God meant to create wonder in your heart towards Him. So when we're ungrateful, we're short-circuiting what God wants to accomplish in us. He wants to create worship in us. He wants to create amazement in us with Him. But instead, when we're ungrateful, we're feeding this idolatry in our hearts. We're feeding things like bitterness and anger because we don't have what we think we deserve. You know, we live in a generation where we call ungratefulness, another word for it would be entitlement mentality. You know what entitlement mentality is? You owe me this. I deserve this. That's ingratitude at the heart. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. And he went on to describe all these different characteristics. One of those words in there is unthankful. We're definitely living in those days. We see all this sin, the hate, the anger, the bitterness, all because of a heart of ingratitude. I've seen some pretty bitter Christians in my life, in my ministry as a pastor. I've seen some people pretty mean. And yes, they profess Christ as their Savior and they were faithful to church. But I've seen some pretty mean ones do some pretty mean things. Spew out a lot of bitterness. Hurt a lot of people. It's possible for all of us to fall into that. It's possible that we can get that way. And so I want to say tonight, beware of Satan's lies. He's going to get you to question God's goodness, who He is. He's going to get you to doubt what He's done and who you are. He's going to get you to question who you are. Oh, how can you really be beloved of God if this is happening to you? There's no way God really loves you. I want to just challenge you, by faith, believe God's word. Beware of Satan's lies. Believe God's word. God never lies. When things don't make sense, when your emotions are telling you something else, don't believe it. Believe God's word, what God says about who He is and and about His purpose for your life and who you are. Believe what God says about you, not what the world says, not what the devil says. Believe what God says. You're His beloved. You're His child. You're His redeemed. You're a saint. Connect what's happening in your life to what God is doing. I haven't read that book I mentioned about Ann Voskamp. I saw a quote in another book, and I was kind of previewing it on Kindle. And in the preview, I saw a quote in there. But let me just kind of tell you the story before this quote, because she was talking about, this was her 10th anniversary edition of the book, and she said that she had met this woman that was going through a tremendous crisis in her family. They were struggling to survive this crisis. And while they were going through this crisis, she found out she was pregnant, and she was not expecting that. It was, so she also had to deal with that, but she had this book from Ann Voskamp. And she started reading it, and this book teaches about finding, counting, you know, the thousand things that God does for you. Be thankful. It's about being thankful, from what I could tell. And so as she was going through all this, she had the baby, and the doctor told her that your baby will never see or never walk. And of course, she's hearing these voices saying, I mean, how can God be good? I mean, how can this be good? But she chose to pick up her pen again and start writing the things that she was thankful for. She started writing all these things that she was thankful for to get through that, beginning to, by faith, believe God. And she even had a therapist that she went to, and her therapist, she told her therapist what she did, and her therapist said, you know, I can't remember, I'm just from my memory from reading this today, so I may not have exactly right, but something like this, the therapist was saying that there's like, it's almost like a neurological muscle, but said that she was exercising this gratitude muscle in her thinking and her thoughts by doing that, and that's what got her through those hard, difficult times, was exercising that gratitude muscle. But here's what Ann Voskamp was saying about it, and she said, faith gives thanks in the middle of the story. And when I saw that, I thought, that's exactly what God's been showing me the last few weeks. And going back to our message 2 weeks ago, Israel at the Red Sea, and just sometimes we're not seeing all that God's doing. We're just seeing the immediate circumstances. We're hemmed in, and the devil's guide is, or here's this stronghold that's like we looked at Sunday at Jericho, and the enemy's got this huge stronghold, and we don't see the bigger picture. We don't realize we're in the middle of the story. And she said, faith gives thanks in the middle of the story. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. That's something I'm going to remember, because when I get into those times where it's hard and you're depressed and down or anxious or whatever, I'm going to remember that. Faith gives thanks in the middle of the story. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to believe God. God's good. God, you've got me. You've got this. You are doing something good. God, I'm going to give you praise and thanks. So before we close, there's some application I want to close with, and some questions I want you to ask yourself. The first one is this: are you unaware? Are you unaware? When it comes to gratitude, are you unaware of what God's doing in your life? Are you just living your life? You know, we really need to wake up as Christians to what God is doing. Be thankful. We be aware of who He is. Constantly remind us ourselves, because I'm telling you, we live in a fallen, not just a fallen world, we live in a fallen human body. Did you know that the sin has affected every part of you? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, everything has been affected. We call it total depravity in theology. Total meaning sin has affected your total being. You're totally depraved. Your mind, your heart, your emotions, your body, everything. We need the grace of God to get through life. And, of course, the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, that new nature. And we walk in the Spirit. We can overcome those things. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, we're not going to be grateful. We're going to start looking at life from a fleshly perspective. And so, are you unaware? There's a second question. Are you ungrateful? You know that God has given you so many blessings. He's been kind to you, but you're just not saying thank you. You're not living. As Brother Adrian Rogers, he says, our thanksgiving needs to become thank. We need to also give thanks living. Word and deed. We got to look at our lives. Are we ungrateful? You know, sometimes we go through life thinking we deserve more. We're ungrateful. Here's another one. Are you bitter? Are you bitter? You know, if you ever have a heart of ingratitude, I'll tell you this, if you don't ever resolve that, it will lead to bitterness. I've also seen not just a lot of angry Christians, I've seen a lot of bitter Christians. People just bitter, filled with bitterness. Think you deserve these blessings. You're ungrateful. You're bitter against God because He's holding out on you. So gratitude's a long ways away from your heart. That's what bitterness does. But here's another question. Are you responsive? Are you responsive? And this is on the other side of this equation of bitterness, that, you know, moving in a positive direction from being unaware to being responsive to what God is doing, for who God is. Moving away from being ungrateful to being responsive to God's goodness with gratitude. You know, it's my prayer that each of us would be responsive tonight. Responsive to His Word. Responsive to conviction of sin. If there's the sin of bitterness, if there's that sin of ingratitude, that God would help you see His grace and start having a heart full of gratitude. The last question I have is this: are you worshipful? Worshipful. You know, I will say that a heart full of gratitude is worshipful. You know, when you come to church, and not only when you come to church, but when you spend time with the Lord, are you worshipful? Or is it just, you know, we can just do our duty when it comes to reading the Bible and praying in the morning, when it comes to coming to church. We can all do that. But are we worshipful? A heart of gratitude is worshipful. You glorify God. You not just say, God, I thank You for that beautiful sunrise, but God, it's amazing how You made such a beautiful sunrise as that. I mean, it's just that worshipful spirit that recognizing God is the giver of every good gift. My challenge is this. For the rest of this month, the rest of your life really, I want you to find one gift each day that brings you amazement about God. And spend some time worshiping Him about that truth. Find one gift that brings you amazement about God. Remember, a gift is a conduit to seeing something about God, who He is, what He's done. If we would be still and know God, be still, meditate, and think, and just ask God to show us even. God, show me. Show me something. I really believe God will. He'll show you something. And as I was sharing Sunday morning, when I was in Connect class, God showed me something that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, wow, God, you're amazing. I mean, you're amazing. And how you love us and how you wipe away our tears and how you care about us. And just so, so amazing. You know, this challenge is very important because if you go back in this message, go back to Genesis 3, go back to Romans 1, and look at the consequences of an ungrateful heart. Look at the destruction that it brought in our world. Look at the sin and death that it brought. You go through and read the rest of that chapter in Romans 1, and you see that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. That's what He did. They didn't glorify God. They weren't thankful to God. They began to worship idols and God's gifts, and God gave them up. Three times it says He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up. There's nothing worse than being given over to our own lust and fleshly desires. And you look around, that's why our world's in the mess it is. Because they've been given up. It's God's judgment on an ungrateful heart. So, I think we ought to be thankful. We should make it a point every day to have a thankful heart. If there's any kind of bitterness in our heart, we need to take care of it. We need to go to God. God, I need You to help me. I need You to forgive me. I need You to help me to forgive whoever it is that we're holding that bitterness against. Get it right. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And if you don't, it can really rob you spiritually. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for the warning that we have in Your Word about having an ungrateful heart and how destructive it can be to our lives spiritually. Not just our lives, but everyone around us. How it can influence so many people. And our family, our church family, and just everywhere around us, that ungrateful heart can corrupt others and cause so much hurt and damage spiritually. Father, I pray, God, that You'd help us to have a truly thankful heart. That we would have a worshipful heart this Thanksgiving. And not just this Thanksgiving, but that it would be a daily thing in our lives that we practice. Thanksgiving. We give thanks. That we count. Begin to write down the things, the gifts that You've given us. And to praise You and worship You for those things. God, we ask for Your grace and Your help in keeping a grateful heart. Lord, we love You and thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for loving us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.